This is the Warrior Mind Podcast, and I'm your host, Greg Swanson. Podcasting from beautiful Bend, Oregon, the Warrior Mind Podcast is a personal empowerment series that provides you the information required to develop a mindset of a warrior, maximize your human potential, and achieve peak performance. The Warrior Mind Podcast is produced every week for your enjoyment, and show notes and links can be found at www.warriormindcoach.com/blog. Please come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. If this is your first time listening, thanks for coming. If you're returning, thank you for your continued support. The Warrior Mind Podcast is brought to you by Qualia, advanced mental nutrition to immediately enhance focus, energy, and mood, while supporting long-term brain health. Become remarkable. Go to warriormindcoach.com/neurohacker, that's with a capital N, and use code WMC to receive a 15% discount. Well, this is episode 367, and today we're going to be finalizing the last 10 mental strength characteristics. So those people who have mental strength throughout there, they have these common characteristics among them. Last week I went through the first 10. Today I'm going to finish up with the second 10. What I would recommend doing is going over to the, where this podcast is hosted, warriormindcoach.com/blog, copy and paste the verbiage that's here and start to rate yourself on these 20 on a scale of 1 to 10. How are you doing? Then at your worst, on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you doing? And at your best, on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you doing? Because you're going to find that depending on the stress level or lack thereof, some of these may be more predominant in your awareness and some of them may not be. And it's just interesting to see, because this is part of the self-reflection. And I hope that you'll be able to embrace these in 2018 and move forward and develop these mental strength characteristics. So number 11, we finished off with number 10 last week. Number 11 is courageousness. And courageousness is doing things in spite of the fear, in spite of the discomfort, in spite of the pain. It's that mental fortitude. Now, when I say pain, it's not so much physical pain, although there is physical pain sometimes involved in our pursuits, but it's also the mental pain. The mental pain of stepping out of our comfort zone. It's the mental pain of releasing something that you can't want or that you don't want to release. This is where courageousness comes from. It's taking that bold action that you know will help you move forward in the direction that you want your life. Courageousness is absolutely essential. Number 12, generosity. This is that you are willing to offer your time, your energy, efforts, emotions, words, even assets, without expectation of something in return. That is really challenging for a lot of us, because we will give only if we get something in return. We'll give to a nonprofit organization as long as we can deduct it off our income tax. If we couldn't deduct it, we may not give. We may give our time expecting that time to be returned to us. And these things may be unconscious when we do that, but think about when you are willing to give your energy, your time, your assets without expecting anything in return, that is actually, in a sense, liberating, because you just give it. You're generous. You're giving these gifts and that is it. Your generosity. You're not expecting anything in return. And it's challenging sometimes because we do want to get something in return. We would like to be acknowledged, even if it's acknowledgement, you know, but if we can give without expecting, we're bringing ourselves up to a higher level of consciousness and being able to then support our causes and our friends in a much more healthier way. Number 13, perseverance. And this is that steadfast persistence and determination to carry on despite some of the challenges, right? So you have a purpose, you have an action, you have a belief. You're getting stalled by, let's just say, some mental frick that's going on. You persevere through it. You're not getting the results you want. You modify and continue. Perseverance. When we don't, the opposite of perseverance is quitting, right? And so you can't succeed at quitting. You may change your path on perseverance. What you're doing may not work, but you don't stop. You try something else. So perseverance doesn't necessarily mean you have to stay on the same path and do the same thing that you're doing over and over and over again. That's kind of like insanity if you're not getting the results you want. What perseverance says is, here's a goal. Here's something I want to get accomplished, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get there. If this isn't working, I'll try something else. I'll try something else. I'll try something else. Most of us give up after the first time. And then if we don't, we certainly will give up after the third time. But perseverance is essential in mental strength, politeness. So being polite, this is good manners. It's common courtesy. It's etiquette. It's those things that make others and ourselves feel respected, right? So politeness, and this may offend some people, may not. Politeness is when you open the door in the car for your female partner. It means pulling the chair back. Politeness is also, if somebody asks you something, it's using, you know, thank you, no thank you, please. It's using those type of words. And politeness usually comes from words, but also gestures, right? When you're in the car, somebody cuts you off, you flip them the finger. That's really polite. Well, you don't know what they're going through in their day, and they cut you off. They may not have seen it. They may have to be getting their kid to the hospital. You have no idea. So the politeness would just be, you know, the opposite. You may not have to do anything to be polite. So politeness doesn't necessarily mean you have to do something, but it also can mean that you don't. What you don't do is flip them off or get angry or get yelled. You're polite. You're listening. When you're in communications, politeness is listening to the other person till they stop talking and then interject what you want to. It's not interrupting them. That's not polite. And we're in a day and age where politeness is when you're at dinner, you put your smartphone away. You don't start texting. That's being polite. That's being respectful. I kind of consider those two go hand in glove. If you respect somebody, you're going to be polite to them. And if you're polite to them, you're going to show them respect. So all these things take place in this day and age. There's very little of that, or that's diminishing more and more because of the app, because the cell phones and the smartphones that we have. And we're constantly looking at who's liking us on Facebook and who's doing this. When the person across from us, or even if we're on the phone, we're on the phone and looking at the text at the same time. Is that really polite? Is that giving that person your full attention? Being polite is giving the person you're talking to your absolute full attention. They are another human being, and they deserve to be heard and felt in whatever they're communicating. Not having you go between a text and Facebook and something else and then going, oh yeah, I hear what you're saying. That's not being polite. And that's not being respectful. 15, kindness. Kindness is an attitude of being considerate, helpful, and benevolent to others. It's motivated by a positive, I guess, disposition and the desire for a warm, pleasant interaction, right? You want to be kind to people, kind and gentle, if you will. And that kindness, you know, if you see a puppy or a kitten, and you're going to be kind to them. Well, that's how the kindness we want to be with others. Kindness is one of those things that kind of just passes us by. We're not kind to people, and then we make excuses for why we're not kind. Well, it's a tough day. I was underneath stress. I was this. I was that. Well, mentally strong people are able to handle that. And so they're able to tap into that kindness and be kind and be considerate of others and be helpful. And this is, so, you know, you see in here, there's kind of a theme. There's this hard aspect to these characteristics, right? The perseverance and the courage. And then there's this yin and the yang, right? And then there's this kindness and politeness. And so there's a mixture of both this hard and soft within these 20 characteristics of mentally strong people. 16, lovingness. This is the ability to be loving towards those you love, means showing them through your words, actions, and expressions how deeply you care about them. And this includes the willingness to be open and vulnerable. Yep, there's the V word, vulnerable. If you can't be vulnerable, you can't really be loving. You can be affectionate, but you can't be loving. And when you can be open and vulnerable, this is that lovingness. And it can be a challenge. It can be scary. But so this is the courageous, right? You need to be courageous to be lovingness, to open up and to be vulnerable. That takes courage. So both of those go hand in glove. Without courage, you're not going to be vulnerable. And without the vulnerability, you won't be able to build up your courage because you'll use courage and, or you won't use the courage to do it and you won't be able to exercise that courage muscle. But this is to love means showing them through your words and the actions and expressions. But I think the words are so important because we don't get to see people face to face this much anymore these days. And perhaps we do. We do most of our communication through text or phones, and then we spend some time with them. But so those words are really, really critical. And those things are there to express your lovingness towards that person. Number 17, optimism. This is a sense of hopefulness and confidence about a brighter future. Mentally strong people always think the future is going to be great. They know that there's going to be stumbling blocks. That's why they have to have perseverance and courage. But ultimately, there is a hopefulness on a future. They see things, the situations as feedback, not failure. So if they try something, it's just feedback so that they can continue to move on. This is actually how you interpret life events. You can say it sucked, or you can say it's a learning and I can grow from it. This optimism shifts your view on how you perceive events, right? Every event is neutral. It's neither good nor bad, but it's what we project into it. If you have more of an optimistic outlook, you will see the positives and you'll see the growth and the learnings in events. If you have more of a pessimistic outlook, you're going to see that things are bad and horrible. Reliability. Wow. Reliability means just show up when you say you're going to show up. Do what you say you're going to do. And this is so tough because many of us have been programmed to play the victim, right? Well, I couldn't get there on time because the traffic was bad. I had to stop for gas. I had to do this. I had to do that. Or reliability if you're at work. Well, I couldn't get this done because I sent it over to the other department and they didn't get back to me. Reliability is basically your reputation. Will you show up? Will you do what you said you're going to do? If people can't count on you, your circle of friends is going to diminish, but then your opportunities for career and growth and promotion is going to diminish considerably. You have to be reliable. Reliable. Do what you say you're going to do. Just do it. Show up when you say you're going to show up. Do what you're going to, what you said. Do those things. Be reliable. And that's all it comes down to is keeping your promise, keeping your word. If you say you're going to do something, that is your word. That's a promise. And being reliable is saying, I'm going to adhere to this. You can count on me. Self-discipline. Self-discipline is another one where we have to be able to discipline ourselves into taking the actions, the words, the things that will help us move forward in the direction we want to go. And usually what happens is self-discipline becomes pretty easy if we have an exciting goal ahead of us, if we have something that is enthusing us, if we have something that inspires us, we don't have to discipline ourselves that much because it's enthusing us. If you have to use a lot of self-discipline, ask yourself what you're going after. Is it really motivating you, or is it something that you must do? Now, sometimes we are given tasks that we have to. If we're married and at home, our wife or our husband asks us to clean out the garage, we have to be disciplined to clean it out. That's not very inspiring. So we do, at some points in life, need to have that discipline, and it's great to exercise it. But there's other parts of life, if you have to use your discipline on every aspect of your life, what is it about those aspects that aren't motivating, that aren't inspiring? And so then when you can look at that and make them inspiring, the self-discipline will naturally come. Conscientiousness. This is where you have that desire to do things well or to the best of your ability. This is challenging because we sometimes underestimate our ability based on the time that we have. We'd rather get it done sooner than get it done right. But what happens is if we get it done sooner instead of getting done right, we usually have to go back and spend three times the amount of time to get it done right if we would have just taken it the first time. So let's just say you have to write a memo or an article for a client and you get it, you write it, you get it done in 20 minutes, you send it over to the client. The client hates it. You have to redo it again and again and again. And all of a sudden you're there 60 minutes, an hour and a half rewriting for three iterations. It took you an hour and a half to get it done. Where if you just took your time and was conscientious about it, it might have only taken you 45 minutes, but you let time get in the way. And this is where doing things to the best of our ability, usually we let time get in the way. I need to get this done by, and this is some of the challenge of goal setting too, right? Because we have a time bound in goals and we want to get something done so we can check it off our to-do list or check it off our goal list. So we're not conscientious about doing it to our best ability. We just want to get it done. So there you go. Those are the last 10 characteristics of mentally strong people. I hope that you will go back here, print this out, take a look at it, bring it forward, contemplate on these characteristics as you start moving through 2018 and use them as guides as to your self-improvement. Thanks for listening to the Warrior Mind Podcast. If you liked what you've heard, please tell your friends and subscribe by your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. Also, make sure you check out www.warriormindtraining.com. Until next time, live with courage. And remember, every facet, every compartment of your mind is to be programmed by you. And unless you take your rightful responsibility to program your own mind, the world will program it for you.